Well, hello everyone again. I always feel weird when I come up twice. It's like, good morning twice, right? So glad that you're here. I'm glad to be with you. If you're new here, we've been in a series called Promoted by a Promise. We've been looking in the New Testament book of the book of Acts. And we've been really looking at the early church that were vibrantly, boldly, and passionately following after Jesus. And as the pastors, we've been praying about, Lord, we want to be that kind of church too. Amen? Do you have that desire? Lord, I want to go deeper in the things of Jesus. I want to go upward and inward into the things of Jesus. I don't want to just stay where I'm at. Sometimes in our life, we can just kind of get stagnant. We can kind of get sometimes stuck. Maybe some of you can relate to that, just being stagnant or stuck. And because of God's promises to us and the actual, looking at the promise of the Holy Spirit fulfilled, we have the ability to go upward in the things of Christ. And what we're going to be looking at specifically this morning is looking at the New Testament believers, how they were moving with great boldness, and I would say passion, for Jesus and sharing Jesus, even in the midst of great opposition. Now that it's officially summer, or so I'm told, I think the weather got cooler, but the date said it's summer, right? We're in summer? Okay, cool. Growing up in New Hampshire, I had the privilege of going up to the coast of Maine quite often. My parents had a timeshare up there, and we go up to Maine, and it was super fun, because my brothers and I, specifically my brother Dave, we love boogie boarding. And I don't know if you're familiar with boogie boarding, but it's, I guess, those people that don't know how to body surf, but never feel like they can do surfing. So it's like this really like in-between kind of place. You lay on a board, and you try to catch a wave, and you just ride it on this little thing called a boogie board. And it's super fun. Like, I enjoyed it. My brother and I, we would go out all the time and just go out boogie boarding. Now, if you've ever been to the coast of Maine and in the summer, it's the kind of water that you have to go numb first before you enjoy. I don't know if you've ever been in water like that. I realize while people, like, I'm like, oh, why do people always go down to, like, Virginia Beach or go down to, like, North Carolina or Florida? I realize they have warm water. But I always thought water was really cold. But after you got numb and you lost sensation for your whole body in 5 minutes, it was the most pleasant time you could ever have, once all the needles kind of went through your body. But I remember when boogie boarding, and the waves there weren't really that big compared to other places in the world. But if you caught it just right, you go out into the water a little bit, wait for the waves to break, and kind of dive in. If you got it just right, you could ride a wave all the way in on the boogie board right to shore. And if you ever done it, for me, it just felt like the biggest accomplishment. I rode it all the way to shore, and I'm avoiding toddlers who are standing in like 2 inches of water. And I'm like, I am the man. Like, I should be on a surfing video. There are other times, though, I was riding a boogie board where I wouldn't get the wave kind of coordination right. And I would go on, and then the wave would break maybe a little bit after I jumped, and then I'm just getting shoved into the sand, and my boogie board would go flying off, and it was attached to my ankle. My ankle would go somewhere, not detached, it just went somewhere. And I would just get like all this like red rock kind of chafing thing going on in my chest. And that's probably too much information for you this morning, right? And so sometimes I felt like a complete failure. But I would get back up and try again. And in our lives, I was thinking about that this morning. Sometimes in life, we can feel like we are riding the wave on a boogie board. Things are going well. Everything's lining up. We're like, this is a blast. Let's keep doing this forever. But other times, and maybe you're here this morning and you can relate to this, you almost feel like the waves of life are crashing on you repeatedly. And you just keep getting slammed into the bottom of the ocean floor. And then you get up again. And you try to go and boogie board some more, to use this in illustration, and you get slammed again. If you get slammed enough, maybe you feel like, I don't really know if I really want to try anymore. Maybe I should just go and sit on the beach and work on a tan. I'm no longer going to try boogie boarding. Well, the passage we're going to look at scripture this morning, we're going to be looking at the early believers who were not boogie boarding, but they were sharing Jesus passionately, fervently, wherever, whenever they could, full of the Holy Spirit, full of zeal. But while doing so, they saw a man who was sick. He actually was crippled from birth. And we looked at this last week. He's crippled from birth, and they went and they prayed for him. And in the name of Jesus, they healed him. And last week, if you're here, remember, the man was over 40 years old, and there's a big stir going on. And we're talking about the power of God to heal today. Well, we're going to look at some of the ripple effects, you can say, where things are actually getting quite difficult for the early believers, specifically Peter and John. What do we do when we face opposition in life? What do we do when we face opposition in life for proclaiming Christ? Well, I want to look at the early believers and see what they did and what they didn't do and just ways that could apply to us. So this morning, the title I mentioned is Big God, Bold Prayers. We'll be in Acts chapter 4, verse 23 to 31. If you'd like to turn there in a Bible, you can do that. If you don't have a Bible, there should be Bibles in the row, like in the bottom of the chairs below. You can take that. You can take it home. If you know somebody that needs a Bible, take it with you. Bless them. If you have a digital Bible, you can turn it on, as long as your Bible doesn't say Facebook. No, if you want to be on Facebook. But if you want to really zone, I encourage you to just focus in the best you're able to this morning. So when you think of the word bold, here's a definition. Showing an ability to take risks, confident, and courageous. Sometimes for the Lord, will opportunities to be bold, and that's in an instant. The Lord says, I want you to go share Christ with somebody on the spot. You got that whisper from the Holy Spirit, take a bold step of faith, instantaneous. Sometimes boldness is just shown over a long period of time. I think a really good illustration of this that we just heard was from John Ault, faithful for 6 years, and then the last 16 months with a group of men and women wanting to do the transformation home. That's boldness over a long time, right? Because it's easy to be, I think, sometimes bold in a moment. We can have that like split-second decision, but sometimes we can lose it over a long time. I think, John, you are a great example of being faithful over a long time. So thank you for being that example to us. But when we look at boldness, showing ability to take risks, confident, and courageous. So I'm going to use a little bit of reflection from last week to help kind of set the scene where we'll be reading this morning. So Peter and John, two of the early disciples, they were going into a prayer time around 3 p.m. in the afternoon. They're going into the inner gate. This is just an illustration of the temple courts. And as they were going there, they saw the crippled man who they healed who was over 40. Which for any of us, I think that would be just amazing, right? Just like celebrate that. But they kept proclaiming that they're able to raise this crippled man who was over 40 years old, be able to take him off the mat and have him actually walk, and he was leaping and jumping around. They're able to do that in the name of a specific person, and that person's name is Jesus, the resurrected Lord and Savior. The religious leaders at the time were getting really upset because they were just part of a plot to actually work to kill and crucify Jesus. And now they're saying, the followers of Jesus are saying, no, he's been resurrected from the dead, and we're actually able to raise people and care for people and pray for people and share the gospel about this resurrected Jesus. And that was just putting these religious leaders through the loops. They were getting really upset. And so they were taking Peter and John. They had questions, and when Peter was talking to them, it talks about, and later in Acts 3, that Peter was full of the Holy Spirit. That's a great reminder for us when we're in situations we don't know what to do. Remember that the Lord will give you what you need to say when you need to say it. But the Holy Spirit came in a powerful way on Peter, and he starts just proclaiming Christ. He doesn't try to defend himself. He tries to share, hey, the Christ that you crucified, who's now resurrected, he's the one that healed this crippled man who's now jumping around and praising Jesus in the courts. And the people were getting astonished. They grew from 3,000 to then 5,000 followers. Lots of people are starting to follow Jesus. And so they had this interaction over here, just a little bit over at Solomon's porch. And Peter and John were taken into custody by the religious leaders because they wanted them to stop proclaiming Christ. But as you know, if you know the story, they wouldn't. They wouldn't stop proclaiming Christ, even when they were taken in persecution. Now, many of us in this country, in this town, we don't have any probably story that relates to this, right? We're sharing Christ this week. I don't think anyone here is going to be able to say, I was sharing Christ this week, and I was taken by, you know, religious leaders, put in custody somewhere. For other brothers and sisters in the world, this is actually a story you probably could relate to, of being taken away, maybe put in a holding cell or custody or whatever, possibly are you going to go to prison or not. The religious leaders say, pretty much wanting to threaten them, stop doing this. But Peter and John are not going to stop doing this. And it's really neat to see, as in their place of opposition, getting hit with the waves, they decide, no, we're not going to just stop what we're doing. We're going to keep doing it, and with even more boldness. So let's look at a prayer as they gather in Acts 4, 23 to 31. Let's look at what they prayed, because I think it's incredibly powerful and encouraging to us this morning. So Acts 4, 23 to 26. So remember, religious leaders had them in custody, to holding them. Don't preach Jesus. So in verse 23, just following up after that. So when they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and elders had said to them. probably highlighting the threats and things that they said not to do. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices to God and said, and we're about to look at this prayer in a little bit more detail, but check it out. This is how they started their prayer. Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why do the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed one. For truly in the city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had been destined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal. And signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, talk about a prayer meeting, right? The place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for your promise that isn't just true for Peter and John and the early disciples, but true for us today. God, help us to learn, be equipped to go out, and God, and be this bold church. Guide us and lead us through this text, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, wow. Yeah, this prayer just shocks me what they're not praying. But we're going to look through this. So let's just go look through this prayer a little bit. Okay, so big God, bold prayers. First, we want to talk about if you're praying bold prayers, you got to have a big view of God. If you want to pray really small, timid prayers, the best way to do that is take a problem in your life, focus on it at all time. When you sleep, try to wake up at night and think about it. When you're awake, try to think about it. Talk about it. Think about it. Look at the problem as much as you can and try not to include God into your view. If you do that, that will set you up for a timid prayer and you're ready to go. From there, remember nothing that God has done for you before. Try to get any of the highlights, celebrations. Don't even look at the Bible. This is if you want to pray timid prayers, and please do not apply this, okay? Don't take notes on this, right? Take the pen down, stop your Kindle or whatever you're doing. And then third is, just doubt that God's promises are for you today. Just don't think his Holy Spirit's going to work within you today and that it's all going to fall apart just when you need him the most. If you run with that operation, you'll have small, timid prayers and your life will look very small as well. Now, I don't think any of us hopefully are praying those kind of prayers, right? I don't think we're waking up in the morning, God, you're a God that's so small, my problem's so much bigger. I just know the problem's going to trump you every time. Hopefully we're not doing that, but sometimes we can live that way, right? Right, I do that. I remember last summer I was driving to Maine to go on vacation and had everything set, planned so well and organized, like almost as if I could control the whole thing. But halfway through Vermont, some of you know this story, my family was going, I have a 4-year-old and 2-year-old son, and our transmission just went out on our minivan. And I was like, uh-oh, because I didn't have money for it, and we're in the middle of nowhere. And I was really like, kind of like, can I trust God? So for the first, 3 hours, I was solid. I had a big view of God. But after that, I had a big view of my transmission and a very small view of God. So what did I do? Freak out. I went from having peace and trust and confidence to anxiety, doubt, and worry that quickly. And I wish I could go back and tell Jim, it's going to be okay, and God did all these miracles, and everything got paid for by other people. It was just crazy. This past year, so I just got a house recently, and I had an unexpected pipe burst in my front yard. I was kind of trying to water the street of Pine Street, just trying to do a free car wash for anyone driving by. But it was cool. In that moment, I remember, big God, bigger than my problems. And so I thought, God, if you handle that transmission situation, you're going to figure this one out too. I want to have a big view of you, Lord. I want to focus on you. I want to worship you. And I don't know how this is going to get fixed. And they all got fixed, which is so cool. But God, I want to trust you. When I was driving to a wedding yesterday for Colin and Mimi Haskins, which is really exciting, I was talking to Crystal, my wife, and I was thinking, you know, it's like, I wonder if the transmission will die again. I actually brought this up, not to be like a Debbie Downer kind of negative person, but I was thinking, you know, if it did die, Lord, I hope I could still have a worship party with a broken transmission. I know it sounds weird, but it's like, Lord, you're just still that big. Are you with me? He's still that good, right? Things can happen, and when we try to put everything in our control and it doesn't go the way we want, we can sometimes forget that, God, you're in control. God, you're the one who has everything under control. And I love how they start their prayer. In verse 24, it starts off with this, Sovereign Lord. They're not starting off at all talking about the threats or being bold or whatever. They start off with Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. They were just released by religious leaders who were threatening their life, right? They're not starting off the prayer saying, God, we're freaking out right now, or what's happening, or let's put down lightning on people, right? They're saying, God, you are big, you are magnificent. Let's go back to the creator, the one who's made everything. They're just remembering who God is. And from that, that's informing their perspective. I believe it's informing their prayer. Big view of God. As I was thinking about that, I was thinking of Psalm 146. I just want to read it for you this morning. It says, praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Where's your hope this morning, right? Where's our hope this morning? Who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. In the way of the wicked, he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. You, God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord. Do we serve an awesome God this morning or what? Right? He's a big God. He's a huge God. He exists without us. Our problems this morning, I'm sure some of us have some really big problems and challenges and maybe even opposition for trying to share Jesus. Know that we have a big God, a huge God, a beautiful God, a powerful, strong God who is for you and not against you. He's for us and not against us. So they start with this big view of God. And then if he continues on, they review some of the things that God has done in the Old Testament. And this is a great way for us to remember, what has God done in our life? Specifically, you can look at scripture, or just, I think you even can look at what God is doing in your life today. They look at a passage in the Old Testament from Psalms 2, and they quote it. They say, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of earth set themselves, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed one. And they look at this passage, and they realize, and they remember those who are coming against David, and even the armies that were going against David, God just, he laughs at them. I want to look at that chapter just for a moment from Psalm chapter 2. I'll share a little bit about that with you this morning. It says, why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and let's cast away their cords from us. He who sits in heavens laughs. He who sits in heaven laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree the Lord said to me. You are my son, and today I've begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possessions. Just a little side note, that's a really big prayer if you want to. Sometimes we pray for people groups or a person. You can ask for nations too. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them to pieces like potter's vessels. Now therefore, O king, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of this earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are those who take refuge in him. The early believers, as they're remembering this, remembering that even those who are opposing David, God is greater and stronger. It says he laughs in heaven. There's no opposition to God that is greater than God. God is greater than anyone or anything. Not only do they see God in a big view, and remember what he's done in Psalm chapter 2 as we're recording it, in the in David's time, they remember what just happened recently, even with Jesus. It says, "We're truly in the city that were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand," and get this, "to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place." So not only do they have a big view of God, they also had a big view that God is in control of their situations, even the ones where they were getting oppositions. Even in the situation with Jesus being killed on the cross, they're saying, God had that too. He had not lost any control. He had not lost any power. God, you are fully sovereign over this. Isn't God amazing? I don't know about you, but I'm just getting excited. Just remember, wow, God, you are this strong, this powerful, that even death on the cross, you know, which some might look at that, oh, that was a failure for Jesus and God. And it's like, no, that was part of God's plan. God had a plan to bring redemption to all men and women on this planet. His plan was fulfilled. Opposition does not shake God. Opposition is the time to go to God and get a big view from heaven. They review what God has done in the Old Testament. They also review what Jesus had just done, and God has just done just recently in their own lives. And we can do that too. Scripture is a great place to go. If you want a big view of God, we got to be daily in God's word. We have to know God's word daily. We have to be in times of prayer daily. I don't think we automatically have a big view of God. I think we automatically get very self-absorbed, self-focused, and look at our own life or our problems. And I don't know how you might think, but I think that's the default of sin, right? Not to go towards God, to look at us as the one that maybe can figure it all out. But if we start our morning in a place, or afternoon or evening, whenever you start your day, with that big view of God, Lord, you're big and you are in control. Recently, something that's been helping me out personally, which might help you out, spending time reading the Bible and journaling and praying in the morning, but I just wasn't having this big view of God. I was reading this passage. I'm like, God, I want this big view of you. I keep praying like small prayers, and I keep thinking small thoughts. God, I want a larger. And I realized something I just started incorporating as much as I can is I like playing piano, and I like taking some of the songs, and maybe some of the songs we sang this morning, those big view songs of God. Diana, really appreciate the song list you picked out. That was wonderful. But just starting the day or somewhere in the day, just having times just to praise God, just to have times to worship God. If you find yourself just kind of throwing a lot of requests to God, know that he can handle it and he likes us talking with him. But just having times to realize, God, you are great. You are glorious. You are wonderful. You're magnificent. I want to sing that. I want to praise you, Lord. To enlarge our perspectives. And if this morning, if you're in a situation where you have daily trials and daily problems, you feel like you're getting hit with waves all the time, I want to encourage you, keep singing, keep praying, keep praising, keep reading, keep trusting the Lord. We don't want to get pulled away from what God has for us, the promise, which is still true for us today. So we want to have a big view of God. We want to review what God has done. And then you'll see as we go through this prayer, we'll see a prayer for boldness. And let's look at that for a moment. Bold prayer to bold living. And it's really not just to pray bold things for bold purposes only. There's a very specific purpose. The purpose was to proclaim Christ. So let's look at that. So it says, "And now, Lord," and this is when they're actually first actually asking anything of God, which you might notice, which is very interesting. They've gone through, they're praying together, which is really cool. The church is praying together, and they haven't asked anything of God yet. They've only established, "Lord, you're sovereign over the earth, the sea, the heavens, all that. God, we've seen what you've done before in history. We also see what you've done recently." And now they're actually ready to pray. And so this is what they pray. "And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servant to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal. And signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. It just amazes me what they're not praying. They're not praying, "Lord, please have these religious leaders stop having threats thrown against us," right? That would be my go. If I was praying this, I'd probably just start with, "Lord, please help," right? That would be it. Just start right there. They started with a big view of God, remembering what he's done. And then they pray, "Lord," they didn't mention any of the opposition as a reason for what they need to stop doing. They mentioned, "Lord, these threats are actually a reason for what we need to be doing more of." And they pray that we would have more boldness. As I think about us as a church in the North Country, I think about, Lord, how can we increase our boldness for you? The pastors this past week, we spent 2 days just praying and planning and reflecting the kind of next 12 months and where the Lord is putting on our heart to go. And one of the things is we really want to grow in a boldness and a passion for Jesus, all of us together. When you're starting a new church or a new work, it's really easy, I think, to have that kind of built-in boldness and passion because you're just like desperate for everything. You don't have a building, you don't have any funds, you might have no one coming to the church, so you're praying all the time, Lord, would one person come to the church? I remember when I was in Rochester, when I was at Bible school, I was helping a startup on Monroe Ave in Rochester, meeting a YMCA. And we had a team of Bible school students helping a local pastor and worship leader. And we had anywhere from 0 to 2 people showing up every Sunday. 0 to 2, right? Man, you just go in there when you have limited resources and limited people there, you just start praying every time. Lord, would one person, would the one homeless man or homeless woman that just walked off the street, God, I pray they would stay awake enough to hear something from your word, right? You're like, God, would you be able to just have a moment where they can encounter you? When you're pioneering, there's that whole zeal. And I love when John Ott shares stories about New Hope or Koinonia back in the day in the 1970s and moving from a living room and going to other places like other churches or going to the local movie theater, not to watch movies, but to have church in the movie theater. Just having those times and just that kind of boldness, that zeal, that passion. And here at New Hope Community Church, we're super blessed. We've got a really cool building. We have no debt here. We have a passion to reach others. But I just been praying, we've been praying, Lord, could you increase our passion for the lost? God, could you increase our passion, our boldness for the lost? Lord, would we not need persecution or some type of external motivator to really raise up our boldness? Are you with me? Because brothers and sisters around the world, I know Dave and Gene Coles know this better than I do, in Africa, in the Middle East, and other places, just boldly proclaiming Christ, small groups duplicating, multiplying, fast church movement, planning, all going on. Lord, could we see that here in the North Country too? Holy Spirit, would you come and fill us afresh? Because they were praying for boldness, asking, and you'll notice that just their prayers wasn't what made everything just move forward. It's the Holy Spirit came. It filled them all. It even like physically, externally shook the room that they were in. And then went out and boldly proclaimed Christ. I think it's easier to be bold for things that you're incredibly passionate for. Easy to be courageous for things that you're very passionate for. I recently been watching the World Cup. I don't know if anyone likes watching soccer or football, which makes more sense, but I'm a huge fan of Brazil. They're a dominating team. And I was watching them play Costa Rica last week, and they were having a pretty good game head-to-head, going back and forth, 0-0. And then Brazil just started in some overage times, started to get a goal and then a second goal. And I noticed that once Brazil got the first goal in like the 92nd minute or something, they were overtime or overage, Costa Rica, their gameplay just went way down. They totally lost. It looked like any like fight or want to fight against this team that's one of the best teams. And I thought of Brazil and just their passion for playing. I was like, they play with such an excellence and they play so long, even beyond what was recorded as a 90 minutes. I thought as a church, we have such a better goal than trying to score a soccer ball, right, in a net. We have a goal to proclaim Christ. And I was like, man, Lord, will we be filled with passion for Jesus? Jesus, would you be the biggest passion in our life? Because if we're passionate for the Lord, like the early believers, and Jesus is our number one priority, then praying for boldness is just a simple go-to, right? We want to boldly proclaim Christ. But if we lose that passion, we kind of lose focus a little bit, we don't have that view of God, then we can pray about a lot of other things, smaller things, good things, but maybe not the most important things. Where's your passion for Jesus this morning? Do you find yourself overflowing with just passion for the Lord? Or maybe you need to kind of refocus and rekindle. So a couple of closing thoughts as I'm wrapping up this morning. Reflection questions. How do you view God? Do you see God as his magnificence and beauty? We had a church meeting, church prayer meeting this past, just on Thursday, and I went to Revelation 4, and you see John having a vision of what heaven's like. and day and night, 24/7, ongoing, ceaseless, eternal worship of Jesus. Wow, what a view of God, right? Do we have that view of God that he's reigning and he's ruling? Or have our problems, our circumstances, our situations, our relationships, our finances, have those become our priority for our eyes and our focus? I love what Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. God cares for you. He loves you. He knows what you need. He's like a good dad, a good parent. I think of my wife, Crystal. There's many good parents in here, but I think of my wife, Crystal. We now have a 3-week-old daughter, 2-year-old son, 4-year-old son. So we're full and active and having lots of fun. But I just love how Crystal will prepare meals and get things that the boys need and Grace needs before they even ask. And sometimes they'll freak out and have a frenzy or something like that. And Crystal is already working on the meal that they're freaking out about in advance. How much more a Heavenly Father that sometimes we're just, God, you don't know what's going on. You don't know that my transmission just went. Like you're looking around at like Saturn or Jupiter. Look at my vehicle, right? No, he can see Saturn and Jupiter and millions and billions of stars. He can see all those at the same time. But he also sees you and he very much cares about you. Like a good dad, like a good parent wants to provide for you. That frees us up to seek him first. We can have that big view of God. What areas of your life today do you need God's perspective on? Big view of God, has there been things that maybe you're not seeing from God's perspective? You're seeing it maybe from an earthly versus a heavenly perspective. How has God come through in scripture has spoken to you before? Maybe you've been reading recently, or if you have a scripture that God's really used to encourage you. Is there a scripture, a passage, maybe something you memorize that you can reflect on? What has God done in your life recently? Or maybe in the last 5 years, 10 years, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, or beyond, that you can use as a catalyst of encouragement that realize that the same God that did this before, he can do it again today. Do you believe that? The same God that worked in the book of Acts, the early church, 2,000 years ago, he can do that again today in 2018 in the summer in the North Country in Potsdam. And I want to lastly just ask before I pray, what is God inviting you to speak out, step out this week? What's a bold step that the Lord might be inviting you to step out this week? And what I want to do, we have a little bit of time, and we've intentionally been trying to put more time into our services, just have times to listen to the Lord and share. But we're just going to have an opportunity just to listen quietly to God. Maybe the Lord's been speaking to you already. Maybe there's some things he's like, hey, there's some things that need to be recorrected, or you really need to know my love in a special way. Let's take some time just to sit quietly. We'll continue to sit quietly and listen. And then if the Lord has given you maybe a scripture verse, or you feel like God's given you something to share to build up or edify the body, we're just going to have a moment just to hear from one another before we have a closing song and a benediction. So let's just take about a minute just to be quiet, to listen to the Lord. Just open up your hearts and mind. Lord, what do you want to share with me? Or maybe you know what he's sharing. Just to listen. And then if the Lord's prompting you to share anything as the way to build up the church body here, we'll have an opportunity for that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your care and your love for us. And God, would you speak to us now? Open up our hearts, Lord. Help us open up our ears to heaven and hear from you. So let's just take about 60 seconds to just be quiet before the Lord. Yeah, thanks, Sean. We'll take a moment to pray before we have a time to respond in praise and song. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are so great. God, thank you that you humbly came as a servant to die for us on the cross. God, thank you for your power that's evident in your church. In the book of Acts, thank you for your power that's evident in the church around the world today. God, may we move in healing and wholeness and power. God, would we overflow with love for you and for others and boldly proclaim you. Until we go to you, Lord, until you come, God, may everyone know the name of Jesus. In your name, Lord. Amen.